look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, how are you this Saturday?
Doing well, sir. How about you?
Pretty good. It's Kentucky Derby Day. Have you ever been?
I never have. I don't know really anything about it, but it's one of those events that you'd like to just to go to experience the whole scene, let alone the race.
Yeah, I would love to do it. You know, Pete Rose loved it. I remember that. It was a big day for him.
Yeah, he probably blew millions and gained it back and then blew him back again.
Yeah. He always wanted to know who you liked in the Derby. I remember those stories about him. But it's a muddy track, and you have to find out whether the horse is a mudder. Whether his mother was a mutter and his father was a mutter and he's a mutter.
So. Sounds like a comedy routine.
I love it. I love when they go through that. I do. I just root for a muddy track so they can say that. Well, what a week of baseball, though. And, you know, just the L.A. Times had a tremendous sports section this morning. I don't know if you got to see the cover.
I did. I saw that. It was really good.
Yeah. Just throw it out to you. I mean, come on. Where do we start? What's the most dramatic? Pujols, the no-hitter, Garrett Cole, Ichiro, Mookie Betts, Matt Harvey. I mean, what a week. There's a story every day.
Yeah, I guess, you know, probably Pujols probably goes to the top. I mean, you know, they're talking about him as one of the greatest right-hand hitters in history. That's a great argument. I mean, I always start with Mays, Aaron Clemente, and Frank Robinson, and because those are the guys that I've seen. And, you know, you think about DiMaggio and guys way back. You know, Harry Heilman won 4 batting titles, and all of them were over 390. You know, Rogers Hornsby and Honus Wagner and Hank Greenberg. But Pujols is definitely up there. And, you know, for fans who are just kind of coming on to his late, you really got to check his numbers with the Cardinals because they're unbelievable. And what I like about him is that he was never a guy who struck out too much. And then, you know, you got Ichiro. I love Ichiro talking about Ohtani. You know, they're crossing paths here, but not really on the field. They're just barely missing each other. But he said, you know, this is a guy who's you can't even compare him to me because he's affecting people all over the world, which is maybe a little too generous because, I mean, it really should be the other way around. But, the sad story of Matt Harvey, who was starting the All-Star game a couple years ago, and now he's, you know, he refuses a minor league assignment. And like you say, just so many great things going on, and the Giants playing well on top of that.
Yeah, and they're down in Atlanta where things always happen down there, Hotlanta. And I remember in the 80s, Bob Nepper throwing about 190 pitches in the humidity on a Saturday night. I always remember that, never taking them out. But, you know, the Pujols thing, you brought up a good point, and that is for the baseball coverage in the last 5 years has expanded probably 9,000% with StatCast and all this stuff that we deal with today. They probably are not looking favorably on Albert Pujols today. They probably look at him as an albatross, one of the worst hitters in baseball, you know, last in all these different categories. But if you had StatCast and all the other stuff that we talk about, in his day, he'd be at the top of the heap. And I'll tell you this, the home run he hit off Brad Lidge was maybe one of the longest home runs I ever saw.
Yeah, I mean, the RBI numbers, he had something like 10 years in a row with over 100 RBIs. He led the league in doubles, he led the league in hits, he led the league in batting average and slugging and OPS, total bases. And as I say, he never struck out 100 times, Marty. And you guys got doing that in a week.
San Diego does it in a way. They're going to break the strikeout record by the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Well, so let's segue into that one. A game in Monterrey, Mexico, right? And, of course, the Padres trying to expand their market into Mexico. And someone said they should build a wall so they can't get back. here's 4 Dodger pitchers go out and no-hit the Padres last night. How about that?
Yeah, it was a really good thing for the Dodgers. I mean, if any team needed a big boost like that, it was them, and they got 4 guys involved, which is nice. I mean, I'm always a little To me, it's disturbing to see a guy get taken out with a no-hitter in progress. But, you know, this has become Dave Roberts, you know, one of his trademarks. I mean, he took out Stripling at AT&T a couple years ago. He was about 7 1/3 innings deep. He took out Rich Hill, who had a perfect game going for 7 innings, took him out. And now this, I mean, and Buehler said he was a little angry, but he, you know, he understood. You know, they're all just guessing. Dave Roberts is guessing. The Dodgers are guessing. Just like they guessed on Julio Urias, and he may never throw another pitch. They were so protective of him. Yeah. So, you know, I feel bad. The kid had a chance. With his stuff, I'll tell you, Buehler's great fastball, great breaking balls, you know, and he's got some composure out there. You know, it would have been an amazing thing for him and even better for the team to all of a sudden throw a no-hitter from a guy who's going to, you know, replace Ryu and, you know, on a rotation that's had some bumps and bruises. So, but still a great moment for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think for baseball in general, you know, in another country being out. And how about the Yankees and Red Sox? They're going to play in London next year. Do they have a ballpark? I don't know. Where are they going to play?
Yeah, that's going to be futile. I think they're so into cricket over there that it's not like football. That's a sport that has absolutely no chance to take off anywhere but here. But, you know, baseball, I think people who enjoy cricket and sort of the basics of that game, and I think they could definitely warm to baseball. You know, there's a few similarities, and it's such a great game, and it's designed so beautifully that I think anyone who appreciates the pure symmetry and the genius of the way the game was designed and continues that way would get into that, no matter what country you're in.
Well, I think so, because a cricket game could go 3 days. So you get a baseball game that's over in 3 hours. Everyone will say, hey, where are you going?
What's with the pace of play? We go for weeks here.
Yeah, where are you going? What do you mean it's over?
So
that's going to happen next year. But, you know, Mookie Betts, a hard hit ball rate of almost 50%. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he hits another three homer game. And he's, you know, ahead of Ted Williams and, you know, and all these greats of the game, Ralph Kiner. And you see that this week. How about that?
Yeah, that guy's just a tremendous player. I mean, he's great in the outfield. He, you know, he's got a fantastic personality, a great smile. He lights up the dugout. He's just, you know, I don't know if the Yankees have enough guys like this, you know, like Bogarts and Benintendi. These guys can do it all. They're not one-dimensional players. And you know, Betts, he's been coming on. He hit over 300, I think, a couple years ago. I think he hit 24, 25 homers and drove in over 100 last year. And now he's just really taken off. He's a guy ascending into his prime. It's so much fun to watch him.
Yeah, and he's doing, you know, when you start hitting three homers in a game four times in your career, it's just not that easy. It's just,
oh, my goodness. Yeah. He and Tuffy Rhodes, you know, they got it over a lot of great players.
Put the ski mask on him in 20-degree weather. Tuffy did in 20-degree weather.
Yeah, I don't think Solly Hemus ever did that. He was lucky to get one.
Solly was the backup to Alex Grammas. That was the thing.
Yeah, tough to hit three when you're not coming off the bench in the eighth.
No, then you're Ted Kaczynski if you're that. Josh Hader. How about this guy?
Wow.
Now, we grew up with Dick Raddatz and, you know, some of these guys who just came in and, you know, threw as relievers, you know, just struck everybody out. This guy faced eight batters, struck them all out. It's a Brewer. 18 innings, he struck out 39 so far. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the guy, he's scary. I mean, he's coming left-handed from, you know, from the side and unbelievable fastball, and it's just tremendous breaking ball that breaks from, you know, Yuma to Merced, as they say. And it's, I tell you, you wonder about a guy, he's burning so hot, you just wonder how long it lasts, because baseball has a way of bringing guys back to earth. But, I mean, if he keeps his stuff like that, as you know, coming out of the pen just for an inning or two, it's surely sustainable for this season, and we'll see how far it goes. But that's truly electric stuff with that guy.
Yeah, that's a great story. And they're going to ride him because the Brewers are in this thing, and, you know, they're late relief, who knows. But they'll ride this guy for a couple of innings. So that's another good story. Arizona's coming back to the pack a little bit, and, of course, Garrett Cole helped them last night. With a complete game, they left him in there, you know, one hitter, one walk, 16 strikeouts. And this brought up the Trevor Bauer controversy this week, who talked about the sticky stuff that everybody uses. And Houston apparently maybe uses it more than others. And it's increased his spin rate to the point where we're all spinning more because of Garrett Cole. The earth is now spinning more because of this guy.
Yeah, I was excited. spin this, you know, Trevor. You know, spin it some other way. You know, a lot of guys are doing a lot of stuff to the ball. Who knows what you're doing to it? You know, you never get to the bottom of that. And whenever they find some substance that they got to throw out, something else will happen. Guys are always looking for an edge, and that's a stupid controversy that he brought up, I thought.
Yeah, but Cole is, you know, what a rotation. I mean, you got Verlander, you got this guy, you got Keuchel, you got Charlie Morton. And the Giants are going to play Houston. They're going to have a couple of series with Houston. I'm going to looking forward to that.
Yeah, I like Houston in general because they're just an exciting team to watch hit. But you know, in the age of bullpenning and guys go five, and then we'll see what happens. I just love that they have a far more conventional rotation. I mean, you know, Verlander and Cole are good for a complete game on any given day out there. You know, Keuchel is the same way. Morton's been great. McCullers. I just love a team that's built around the rotation, and they're not afraid to, you know, ride them as long as they're going good. It's they're probably the best team in the game. So I think that's terrific.
Well, Giants are playing better. They're 17-15. This is the 1/5 mark today. You know, it's somewhat of a significant milestone. We get to the quarter mark probably next weekend, but we're starting to get a feel for. I say they can hit. To me, it looks like they can hit, and
yes,
they can hit anywhere, and especially they're going to hit out of AT&T Park, and I think we saw it last night, and I think on this road trip they're going to hit.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Longoria is really stinging the ball. He'll be up around 280 before you know it after an unbelievably bad start. McCutcheon's hitting the ball hard. You know, Posey, of course. Belt has been great. I'm really glad to see what he's doing. He took a lot of heat. You know, I got on him a little bit just for, you know, taking a couple called third strikes when maybe he should have protected the plate. But, you know, the way he goes about it has proven to be, you know, once again, a very valuable thing for the Giants, and he's been consistent. Crawford is starting to come alive, mm-hmm. too. I mean, basically, you know, even Hanson, you know, he's a guy who slaps the ball around. He went the other way nicely last night, and he can run. So, I mean, just about everybody that steps up there is a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, they compared Hanson the other day in the dugout to the bullet, to Darren Ford.
Yeah.
Bochy actually called him the bullet. I like that. I gave him the nickname. I actually gave him the nickname, the bullet.
But, yeah, there you go. It's funny, you know, you lose panic, but one thing, you're always looking for the positives, whether they have Hanson or Tomlinson in there, all of a sudden you've got some real speed, you know, on the bases. And Hanson did get picked off last night, but he can really run, and so can Tomlinson. And, you know, I think, you know, they just might be able to get through this long stretch without panic, you know, without a lot of embarrassment.
Well, Hanson is one of those guys, as Bochy was terrific talking about him the other day, you know, just sort of, you know, with all the writers. But someone said, well, you know, does he have the green light? And Bochy said, the green light, if you give this guy the steal sign, he'll steal right now. You can't stop him. You know, he just runs like crazy. And we saw that in spring training, too. But it does give the team a dimension. Look, you watch D. Gordon. How about D. Gordon this week, what he did?
Oh, man.
You know, you watch players like that, and who knows what Allen Hanson can do. You don't know. But he has, you know, he was a top pick of the Pirates for many years. And, you know, he's 25. Maybe it's starting to come together for him. But this is what you like to see. You like to see athletes.
And we always talk about the bench, and another great athlete, although he doesn't look the part, is Sandoval. You know, this is a guy who can come off and give you some punch off the bench. You got, if Hanson's there, he can run. Tomlinson can run. Those things I really cherish more than a guy, say, or an Adrianza or whatever, who can do a little bit of everything, but he doesn't really stand out in any particular way. You know, these guys can help you in specific ways that can win games.
Well, I love it. Doug Greenwald sent me a text as you're talking, Bruce. As a side note to that no-hitter, the home plate umpire, John Tom Payne, was celebrating his 35th birthday.
In Mexico.
Yeah, maybe it was very – I'm surprised they sent him to Mexico on his birthday. But Garrett Cole became the first Astros pitcher to record at least 12 strikeouts in consecutive games since the great – you know who it is – J.R.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Oh, man. Unhittable. J.R. and Nolan Ryan on the same staff for a while.
Come on. They couldn't win.
They couldn't win, but you couldn't hit them. I remember Dusty Baker talking about that, about what an incredible nightmare facing those two guys back-to-back. But, yeah. J.R., here's to him.
Yeah, really. He had a stroke, and that was the end of him. But what a stint. Ken Forsch was on that team, and I think Negro with the knuckleball. Mm-hmm. And they played that Philly, the Philly series in 1980. They had the Phillies beaten. I
had the pleasure of covering that series.
Did you?
Man, was that what a treat that was! And you know, then I, all the way through the World Series with the Phillies, Tug McGraw and Brett. great memories of that.
Boy, that was one of the great championship series ever. The Phillies,
it really was.
And
it absolutely
the Astros,
was.
1980. That was a good one. All right, last thought for you. There's so much to talk about. Tomorrow's Willie Mays' birthday, so we'll talk about that tomorrow early. You'll be with us 9 o'clock tomorrow, but Willie is 87 tomorrow. How about that?
I love it. You know, for us who are getting along in years, you know, it's great to see people who are, you know, lucid and vital. I mean, he's not like breaking into a sprint, but you know, he's 87, for heaven's sake. He's still Willie Mays. He still draws a crowd around him. He's still, you know, pretty vital, and you know, he's one of those guys. It's inconceivable to think there wouldn't be a Willie Mays on the planet. So let's hope he gets another 10 years.
Yeah, 87 tomorrow. In fact, the greatest game tomorrow. I recorded it, the greatest game in Giants history. I took a Mays game, and it was the game where he ended up throwing out a Dodger at third, at home, and at first. And Tito Fuentes dropped the ball at second, or else he would have had one at every base.
Oh, my goodness.
But Jim Murray, after the game, said they should make him play in handcuffs, that he's going to lead the Giant team in infield assists, more than the infielders, and that Maury Wills dropped the bunt down in the ninth inning to ignite the tying run. He said he bunted at 2 feet and it trickled 20 feet. And everyone in the park knew he was going to bunt, and he still did it.
That's one way to make sure Mays will not be able to touch the ball.
Yeah. But
although
Mays,
with him, you never know, right?
Yeah, but he struck. And Mays threw out Willie Davis.
Ooh.
He threw out Maury Wills at the plate, and he threw out Drysdale at first base on a double play and a fly ball to center field. And Jim Murray said Drysdale ran back like he was climbing a rope.
So that was my idol of growing up down there.
I thought of you reading this. I recorded that, so we'll have that tomorrow. Celebrate a little
Beautiful.
Bit of Willie tomorrow. All right.
Great,
one last
thought
before we run away. Matt Harvey, do you touch him, Bruce? Do you go near him?
I don't know, because he's, you know, as we say, he started the All-Star game. He had phenomenal stuff. He was the talk of the game. He had a little swagger about him, and you're thinking, man, this is the guy, you know. But he lost his stuff, and he didn't know what to do about it. He kept throwing pitches that he'd thrown before, but they weren't the same as they had been before, and they were getting raked, I mean, really badly. There was no question that he had to come out of that rotation. And I don't blame him for refusing the minor leagues, because he just has so much pride, and it's just so recently he was great. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's a guy. You got to find out. You know, you got to see him pitch somewhere to see if he can start finessing and thinking about new pitches and new ways to approach hitters. Because until that happens, you're stuck with a guy who's not going to help you.
Yeah, it's almost like Lincecum in a way. You know, he's riding 3 years ago trying to, you know, say I'm still Matt Harvey. My take was, if the veterans in the clubhouse want to deal with him, maybe. But if they don't want to deal, because he's got a lot of baggage coming with him. And, of course, it's New York, and things are magnified, but there's a lot of baggage coming with him.
Yeah, he's pretty cocky, and, you know, he's got to come down from that high horse, too. He's got to find some humility here.
The Dark Knight?
I think he would. I think if he went to another team, I think who knows? He'd probably behave himself, or maybe he'd party himself way into Sam McDowell land.
Right. The Dark Knight is at Original Joe's tonight. The Dark Knight, you know. That...
I like the headline. I don't know if it was the Daily News or the Post. It was Nighty Night.
I love it. What a week of baseball. Pretty good. All right. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.